The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of my property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. And a few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. And while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now the elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard the music and dancing. And he called one of the slaves and asked, "What is going on?" He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years, I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I may celebrate with my friends." But when his son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him? Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Family dynamics have always fascinated me. Maybe they have you too. Maybe that is why I did my undergraduate degree in sociology. One of the things I learned in sociology is that behavior in a family is very much influenced by the culture and historical context which one grows up in. Now, each generation can act and react very differently to situations. even if they grew up in the same household. It doesn't take many years to have a new experience. In my case, my oldest brother was 10 years older than me. And we grew up in the same household, same religion, same parents. But I grew up in the computer age. My brother, who is 10 years older than me, not so much. My brother today still struggles very much with technology, where I have embraced it. My point is this. In order to understand behavior in a story, you need to understand the cultural, the historical context of that story. Our gospel reading today is about a very familiar story of what we sometimes refer to as the prodigal son. I may be going out on a limb right here, okay, but bear with me. And I'm going to venture to say that none of us have grown up a Jew in the first century in the Palestine region. Are you with me? Okay. So when we hear this familiar story from Jesus about the prodigal son, we need to understand the backstory, the culture, the religious practices, and within the historical setting to understand the story that Jesus is truly trying to convey to us. We are in chapter 15 of Luke's gospel. We heard the first two verses of Luke tell us that Jesus is teaching to the tax collectors and sinners. How dare he? I think that's something Jeremy would say. Something most rabbis in the Jewish time would not do. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were grumbling about Jesus hanging out and eating when teaching to those that were not necessarily accepted in the strict Jewish culture. The next verses in chapter 15 of Luke's gospel, verses 3 through 33, Jesus tells three stories right after each other. The story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, and as we just heard, the story of the lost son. Kind of see a trend here? In each of these stories, we get to see a glimpse of the character of God the Father in dealing with those things that are lost. Today, we get to hear how God deals with us, humanity, when we feel lost. Anyone ever feel lost in their life? Okay. There was nobody lost except me last time, so I'm glad I'm with a few other of you. And I'm not talking about making the wrong turn when you're in your car. Maybe you took a wrong turn in life, or maybe life took a turn on you, and you found yourself lost. Our story from Jesus this morning should give us hope. Help us to know the character of God our Father. Let's take a look at this story a little bit closer. It starts out, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that belongs to me." We have to stop right there. This story is about a Jewish father with two sons in first century Palestine region. A family that Jesus' hearers could relate to. The father was probably well off since he has some property to split. Now, most wealthy Jewish owners in Jesus' time would have their property elsewhere, but they would live in a town with a community of other Jews in a very close-knit community. To ask his father for his inheritance before the father died was like saying, "Father, you are dead to me. I want nothing to do with you except what you can give me." A typical human father probably would have slapped his son and declined the request. But the father in this story is not a human father, but represents God our Father. It is where we get the first glimpse of God's character. God our Father allows people to reject him. We have a choice. He doesn't force us to love him, to stay with him. The story continues. So the father divided his property between them. And a few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his property with desolate living. In other words, the son sold his property in a few days, got cash, and took off for a wild life somewhere far, far away. Why just did he wait just a few days? Well, if you remember what I said, the community that the family was living in was probably very close. Think of a small town USA. Anybody ever lived or grew up in a small town USA? What's a characteristic of a small town USA? Everybody knows everybody, and everybody knows everybody's business, right? You can't get away with anything. You think you're going to get away with sneaking out, somebody in town's going to see you and tell your parents, right? In this Jewish community, what the son asked his father would not only bring shame to the family, but also to the community. That son wanted to get out of Dodge as fast as he could so the community wouldn't react to him. And then the story continues. When he had spent everything, a severe famine broke out throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. Okay, this is not a Jewish family. They are not going to have pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But he came to himself and said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? And here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands." And so he set off and went to his father. And we need to pause just a moment here to really set the scene of what just happened. The Jewish people did not work or eat pigs, okay? I think we kind of figured that out in scripture by now. It was against their beliefs. So this young Jewish man had hit rock bottom working for a Gentile, and he was hungry. So he comes up with a plan. But I'm not sure the son at this point was truly repentant of what he did to his father. He is just motivated by hunger. Let's continue with the story. But while the son was far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Can you picture that? Seeing an older man running down the road, grabbing his son and just kissing all over him. It's not like a peck on the cheek. Here again, we get a glimpse of God our Father. In order for the father to see the son from far off, other than having pretty good eyesight, he must have been watching for his son. Day after day, hour after hour, the father hoped and prayed to see his son return. You see, we may leave God in our lives sometimes, but God is ever watchful of our return. And what does the Father do upon the Son's return? He lavishes him with kisses upon his Son. Probably not what the Son was expecting, because he doesn't follow through with his original plan. Instead, he says to his Father this, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." There is no mention of being made a hired hand and getting bread abundance. I think that son was so blown away from the sheer love and acceptance from the Father that the son's words are truly repentance and not just a way to alleviate some temporary hunger. The son sinned against his father, and the father forgave his son and loved him unconditionally. But there was a problem that the father needed to solve. His son's acceptance with the community. There he would probably not have been very happy with this son, much like the older brother wasn't happy with him. So the father needs to restore his lost son. And how does he do this? Listen. "But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." The father shows the community that his son is back, and he puts the best clothes on him, gives them his black MX card again, and puts really nice sandals from Italy on his feet. Because the servants sometimes didn't wear sandals. He didn't want the community to mistake his son for a servant. A fatted calf would probably feed about 100 people. So this truly was a community celebration. The lost son was fully restored into the family and his community. Jesus is telling us that when we mess up, and we mess up, we are truly repentant, God the Father demonstrates unconditional love for us. And that, my friends, is called grace. We don't deserve it, but God freely gives it to us. When we see forgiveness like this, especially when it's not happening to us, sometimes I think we can get a bit self-righteous. We can get a bit like that older brother in the story who cries out, "It's not fair." But really listen to what the father tells his older son. "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and he has come to life. He was lost and has been found." Some of us have not fallen away from God like the younger son, but we have forgotten sometimes our constant access to God, to what God wants to share with us. We forget that God wants to share all good things with us. Paul tells us in his letter to the Corinthians that in Christ, God has reconciled the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. What great news. When we mess up, when we sin, God forgives and truly repentant sinner and welcomes us back in as honored children, fully restored. It is God's grace and love that we see highlighted in this story. The grace that is available to all of us. And that is good news. Are we living into the fullness of what it means to be children of God? Do we understand our access to the Father provided to us through Jesus' sacrifice for our sins? Jesus shows us in the story of the lost son that God loves us lavishly, forgives us, and shows us mercy and grace to penitent sinners. And because of this, we too are called to show forgiveness and mercy and grace to others. Jesus' story has an open ending, doesn't it? We don't know if the older son ever comes around to understanding the depth of the Father's love and grace. So how shall we end it? Two sons, both, who needed to be reminded of the Father's unconditional love. As we continue on our Lenten, Holy Lent, and beyond, let us reflect on God's love and grace for us, not only for ourselves, but especially for those others that may not feel that they deserve God's love. This story from Jesus helps us to understand the love God truly has for all of us. Be encouraged as you work to grow closer to God and get to know that character of God, the Father, for us. And you will feel God's love and grace towards you, just like the lost son did. Amen.